Next Sunday, we really encourage you to get together in smaller groups. I know some of you already part of such small groups. Some of you, this is a great opportunity for the time being until Christmas or so for you to have fellowship, closer fellowship with a few people. You know, so we encourage you anywhere from like 3 to 8, 9 people, a few couples together, or 2 or 3 people, because it's a Jesus model. He said, you know, if 2 or 3 gather in my name, I will be in their midst. So that's where church is. Church is not about the format. It's not about how many songs and what kind of instruments. I mean, I enjoy instruments, but church is where the presence of Jesus is and where people commit to him and to his plans. So next Sunday at 10 o'clock or at a time that works for you, meet somebody in the park or, you know, meet in your living room if it's a large living room. Do what you need to do, but please, do interact, and we will try to, as following this on the other Sunday, 2 weeks from today, October 18, we will have broadcasts from here, and you know, use the group that we use, the BIC online community, will do the broadcast in English every Sunday, Lord willing. Not next Sunday. Next Sunday, don't look for broadcast. Next Sunday, the church main dish is people, the groups coming together. Amen. So if you have nobody, just meet with somebody over Zoom or Messenger, or you know, have a prayer time. Cheryl can help you connect, you know, with other people. But as I keep saying, I use that metaphor. It's like church is sometimes like a bird that has two wings. You know, birds need both wings. Often we meet in this large format or bigger format, not as large as it used to be. But we need the other wing, which is smaller fellowship. You know, 2 or 3, few people come together. And I can even, you know, for next Sunday, I encourage you. I mean, you know, if you want to have a meal together, do that if it works out. Or you can each enjoy your coffee as you look into the screen if you meet online with another couple or people. But three things that I encourage you to do. Number one, share one thing that God, the Holy Spirit, taught you about communion and community in the last few weeks. You know, we've been looking at the subject of community and how to be a community centered on Jesus, not just on tradition, not just on common interests and hobbies, but really be committed to his ways, to his teaching, to his model. This is our calling. And share something. If you don't remember much, please look at some of those chapters from the book of John, like chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and let the Holy Spirit guide you. You know, and I'm sure some stuff will leap off the pages into your heart and let it grow. And share it with other people, because everybody knows when you share something, it goes deeper in your own heart and you are more committed to it. So please do that. The other thing you can do, talk to that person or to the people in the group about how together you can be a better community centered on Christ. How you can serve each other, how you can encourage each other, and how you can reach out to other people. Because, you know, community has all those three components. It's God, it's each other, and then to the people outside. A centered Christ community has all of that. I know some people only like one of them, or they committed two of them, but we are called to all of them. It's like a car. A car needs a good engine, needs wheels, but it also needs fuel, you know. So it's like, what's the point of having a great engine, like 8V or whatever, you know, 16V or something, and have the best cool wheels, but if the fuel is not there? What's the point of having the fuel, having the greatest shift, but, you know, have a flat tire, and you're not going to go far or fast? So please, I really sense I'm sure if you followed other leaders online the last few months, a lot of pastors around the world, a lot of people understand that God is using all of this to help us to not be so committed to formats and to traditions, but to rediscover the basic, simple, powerful things of Christian community, which is, you can find there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. People coming together, focusing on the teaching of the apostle, prayer, fellowship, community, breaking of bread together, all of that. This is what builds community. And you don't need the large buildings, the large format, but you need to be willing to allow God to work in you and through you. Amen. And Lord willing, we'll see how it goes. On some Sundays, we may try to do like smaller groups, So we can meet inside, like 10, 15 people, or on a weekend we may invite, let's say, some of the couples come together at that time. Or it's not because we want to break people, kind of separate the community, but we need to adapt to the rules and regulations, you know, that we need to observe. We are happy that the, oh, we have some competition today, some, yeah, it's all, it's, we're happy for the Nepalese community that is growing. You know, they met last couple of Sundays, and you know, Kumar Boaz and his wife Ruth, and they moved to Bucharest recently, and they have a heart to work and minister and witness to other Nepalese in Bucharest, and there are more and more of them, you know. One of my favorite restaurants in Bucharest, Caro Cubere, most of their assistant, most of their help comes from Nepal now. So yeah, Romania is adapting. So we want to be intentional and we want to be strategic in serving and reaching the kingdom. Okay, so we'll be in touch about all of that. We continue to try to be a presence. I didn't get the pictures yet, but yesterday there was more progress on the little addition to the house for the Project M, the family that we've been helping. Thank you for your generosity. We still need a couple of thousand euros to, you know, to help finish the project. Hopefully the family can get the building ready in a few weeks, and they can get some of the other kids whom the government has taken away because they didn't have the medical condition, I mean, the material conditions. Yes, and if you want to make a donation who's in cash, we use that box. Some people got on my case that that box doesn't look too well, too good, but it's okay. God looks at the heart, doesn't look at the box in which you place the money, but he does look at the attitude, you know. Don't give it grudgingly. Don't give it out of religious duty or fear. Give it with joy, like unto the Lord, and pray that we God will increase our resources. This week I got some special thank you notes from the Gavrush, the family in Niger, you know, for all the support and money we've been giving them, and, you know, trying to be church, not just to talk about things, okay? I'm excited that today we also get to celebrate communion in a special way. I know different people have different understanding about what is this to have communion, but we do believe that periodically it's good for us to have the elements, the, you know, the bread represented the broken body of Jesus, and the fruit of the grape, you know, we'll have both fresh wine, I mean, like fresh grape juice and wine, all of us, all of that to remember, to remind us of what Christ has done. Because that's the thing, you know, all the beautiful songs that the team prepares and all the sermons, all the verses, all of that are important only as a building step towards us giving more of our heart to Jesus. We are having a conversation this morning and we're talking about serving Jesus from a whole heart. And that's our desire. That's our desire. And but we know that sometimes our heart is divided. Sometimes a lot of things creep into our heart. You know, I mentioned last Sunday, you know, that last weekend, one of my dear, you know, he's a cousin, but he's like a brother to me. We grew up together. He got some medical news that are concerning. We've been praying. And, you know, his whole life is kind of turned upside down. Sometimes life is like that. You know, something happens. We get some news. Something happens with our job. Something happened in a relationship. Something happened, with medical news, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, our life or our heart is full of anxiety, or we face doubt, or we face questions. I know it doesn't happen to all of you here, but maybe some of you here it happens, you know, or the other way around. But real life, it's like that, you know. And what do we do? How does our Christian faith model shapes our response? And I didn't necessarily mean to have a play of words for the title of this message, but, you know, since we talked about community and today we have communion, obviously, you know, the idea is for us to understand how to have community through Christ's communion. You know, community in Christ's communion. And it's not just about the fact that in Christian communities we do this tradition of the Lord's Supper or the communion, as other people call it. It's much deeper than that. It has to do with the idea, simple but powerful, that whatever we do in the way we plan our lives, in the way we deal with the surprises or news of life, in the way that we plan our futures, in the way we set our priorities, that Jesus is number one. That Jesus is the one informing and shaping everything that we are, everything that we do. Our marriages, our relationships, the way we handle finances. And I know it's like, oh yeah, we know that. Do we really know that? You know, I've been following the Lord for many years. I know sometimes it doesn't show like I have, but I've been following the Lord for many years. I have tried. I've been struggling to follow the Lord for many years, for many decades, more than I want to realize, you know. But I know and I can see how easy it is for all of us, even for people who love the Lord, very committed to Him, how easy it is for us to kind of get into a system when we, you know, we have our routine and we do the church stuff and we believe all of that, but we lose, not only that we lose the enthusiasm, the passion, but our priority daily or weekly is not about Christ, I want to honor you, you know, or like, when we evaluate our year or our months, do as we say, we draw a line, we say, okay, let's see, how did I do this month? How was this year for me? Do we start with this question, like, have I been more pleasing like unto you, Lord? As you look into my life, have you found more fruit for you, for your kingdom? Because that needs to be our priority. If you look in the teachings of Jesus, the one parable he said over and over again in different ways is this one. He wants fruit in our lives. And in John 15, he said, if you abide in me, you know, which is basically another way to say, if you really have communion, if you unify ourselves with him, then you will bear fruit. And this is how my Father is honored. I'm sure, I know the Lord enjoys our singing. The Bible says so. But more than that, God is glorified through the fruits of our lives. And, you know, some of that is visible to people. Some of it, God only sees it. You know, like Jesus told us, sometimes the right hand doesn't need to know what the left hand is doing in terms of generosity and the way we serve God and serve other people. But God sees everything. So, you know, my prayer and my plea for you, you know, after we've been talking for all these weeks about community and early in the summer about how to really present the gospel and live the gospel and really be a testimony for the gospel, I hope it all comes together and for us to understand wherever I am in this Bucharest difficult traffic. You know, the other day I was in traffic, like, yeah, just a few months ago, I remember all the cars are off the street. And now it's like, you know, and it's funny because now there are more cases and more like, okay, we don't know what happens, you know. Or whenever you get bad news, you know, when I spent some time with my cousin, it was like sadness and bad news makes you think, take life more seriously. But obviously we need to do it in such a way that it doesn't take our focus from God. But it really makes you ponder, it makes you ask what is truly, really important. I know there are many things that concern us about life, about the system, about outcome of elections. And by the way, we are grateful for the new mayor. And all of us, we need to pray for him and for his team. Because our trust is not in people or even less in human systems. But God allows authority and he puts authorities for his purposes. So we need to pray for the mayors around Romania that God will give them wisdom and they will make good decisions. But our faith and our ultimate faith cannot come from a, you know, worldly leader, regardless of the which of the two 70-something men you prefer to see elected in November. I don't know, you guys. Let me know if I need to change the mic or something. But all of it to say, Jesus, is my life centered on you? Because as we looked before, and as Rachela reminded us last week, this is how community starts. Community starts with people making a decision to put Christ number one. Because as Henrique and Wim, they make Christ number one. Their marriage is going to be a Christ-centered marriage. And as Don and Rhonda put their priority in Christ, their life, their lives, their dynamic, their marriage will be centered on Christ. And so forth. And then as you have more couples and more individuals, more single people, because, you know, we looked at it, regardless if you're single or married, you're a whole person in Christ. It's not marriage that makes you whole. It's Christ and Him alone. There is no Savior. Don't expect a Savior either in the shape of your wife or a bright and shining, Fat Frumos or however in your culture who you expect to come riding on a horse and pick you up and sweep you off your feet. Yes, romance is nice while it lasts, but life is more than that, okay? So as we do that, as David centers on Christ and Becky centers on Christ and Adela centers on Christ and Adriana and so forth, then we can really be a community. And when we come together, basically what happens, we bring the light of Jesus in us and together it shines stronger. And then we become that beacon of hope and light that, you know, as our vision statement says. There is no other way around it. We can come together, we can bring our money and our creativity and our contributions and good ideas, and we can do some good. But it's not going to be transforming good. It's not going to be, it's not going to alter lives for eternity unless it's based and it's connected through Christ, the grapevine. Unless it comes through that amazing power of the God seed through Christ. And this is what allows us to be a Christ community. And if you, as you read that whole passage in John, from John 13, you see that Jesus is putting it all together. Through everything that he does, he wants to give a powerful, object lesson. You know, he washes their feet and says, hey, if I am your master and teacher and I've done this, then you need to do this. And if you really do this and understand this, then you'll truly be blessed. And through communion, as they enjoy a last meal, as they celebrate Passover, he picks up the bread. You know, he tears it and says, hey, eat. This is my body, which I'm going to give to you. Drink up the cup. It's the blood of the eternal Lamb who gives us salvation. And then he said, I have a new commandment to you. You should love one another. And then he says, I no longer call you slaves or servants. Yeah, we are his servants, but he calls us friends. Friends of God. And then he comes up with this, you know, he explains it, how it works. And he basically says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's nice to have many gadgets. The other day, I was waiting for my cousin to come out of a test, and it took a few hours, and his wife was there as well. We were outside on a bench, and you know, I had my tablet on, and I could write some emails, and I could correspond even with some of you. I said, how nice is to do that, you know, because before you'd only sit in a hospital, you have no connection, you'd have to try to maybe find a phone if you find the right coin and if the phone would work, especially in Romania. And now, you know, and then he's like, oh yeah, my cousin's wife was paying some bills on her phone. I said, oh yeah, that reminds me, I need to pay my utilities. So I got my phone and now I have this application. And we can do these great things, you know. And sometimes it's amazing, you know. I know some of you have already been doing it for years, but I'm newer to this. It's like sometimes I get to the cashier to pay for it and I realize maybe I don't have enough money on one of the cards, and it takes 20 seconds. In 20 seconds, I can transfer money into that's amazing, you know, like, you know, it's wonderful. I remember, like, some years ago when you would have to, like, we had hyperinflation, and, you know, when we had before the 10-4 zeros are cut off, you know, we had to carry sometimes a lot of money just for even, but what I'm trying to say, yes, it's great to have all these tools, but it's not these tools that are going to really make us whole and are going to make us really have an impact. It's the connection to Jesus, communion with Him, life sharing together. You know, talking about being together, you know, he makes it very clear. He said, hey guys, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he puts it this way. I'm going to give you this new commandment, but don't try it on your own. You know how they have those shows. And at the end they say, do not try this on your own. Do not try this at your house. Do not try this on your own power. Do not try to do it apart from Christ. Apart from me. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Hey, but if you abide in me, greater things will happen. You'll have love. You'll not gain my love. You already have my love. But if you keep my commandments, if you follow my ways, this joy of following me is going to always be with you. Yes, you'll have troubles. you will have troubles. But at the same time, don't worry too much. You know, each day has enough trouble for its, of its own. But look to me. Stay with me. Stick with me. And regardless how the next few weeks will be, and, you know, some say, oh, some Sundays you may say, oh, I miss seeing other people. I miss the worship music team. Yes, we'll miss some of that. But Jesus is right there. Open the Bible. Oh, read one of the Psalms. Right in your room as you are. Say, Christ, I recognize you. I need you, Lord. As you get the bad news, as you are in the middle of the difficult situation. And, you know, basically Jesus made a plan which is simple. He gave us such amazing commandments, such amazing, awesome call that is impossible for us to fulfill it away from him. So by doing this, he's making sure that we abide in him, that we are not going to try on our own, because as human beings, that's what we do over and over again. You can remember of Moses. He was a great man of God, awesome man of God, taught, educated, was an awesome calling. He split the Red Sea. I mean, that, you know, he called plagues after plague, you know, on Pharaoh and all of that. Amazing. And yet, at one time, he's not following along in God's plan. He said, no, no, I have a better idea. God, you gave me this rod. I don't need to follow the new commandments. I will just use the tool you gave me before. And because he disobeyed God and got anger, got led by anger instead of by obedience, he missed walking into the promised land. So let's say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He made it, you know, the commitment. Like, I look at Becky, for example. Like, she's working with moms, and some of them are so messed up. And I say that lovingly, not because, you know, but they, life has chewed them and has broken them, and their life and their kids' lives are so affected, you know. And even Adela is helping with a difficult case. It's so complicated. It breaks my heart. I saw this young woman, which I've known for many years. I've known her as a kid. And I only, you know, as soon as I saw her, I could see how broken and fearful she was because of her abusive husband and some other stuff. But all of it to say, without God, it's impossible for their lives to be restored to the extent that God wants to restore them. Yes, we can then make them pretty on the outside. They can get some work training, or they can get a house. But their soul and their happiness and their peace and their wholeness can only happen through Christ. You know, well, the same thing with this city. Hopefully we'll have better roads. Hopefully in a year or two, it's going to take some time, we'll have more hot water. You know, it's been, usually it's my mom complaining, but I don't need the water to be very warm for me to, you know, but it's been weeks since I could have a bath. I do shower, don't worry, you don't have to stay away from me. I do shower with cold water, but what I'm trying to say, hopefully in a few months or a couple of years, that will improve with the new leaders. But people's hearts and destinies are not going to change unless the power of Christ, the power of the gospel is going to reach in. And this is not going to come through the city hall, but it's going to come through the church hall, to the ministry that God is calling us. And yes, God made it impossible unless we serve him, unless we really fill ourselves with him. And when we are empty and broken and disappointed, and when we fail or other people fail us, we do one thing, as Paul says, I do one thing, forgetting what's behind me, I look forward, I strive forward, I pledge forward for the prize of knowing Christ and being known by him. I just briefly want to read a passage from Colossians that describes how our life of community should be. And it's a beautiful passage, but it's also overwhelming. And you will understand what I mean by overwhelming. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, hallelujah, we are chosen. I still remember sometime when I was a kid and I would play in this sports club. Sometime I would not be among the first ones to be chosen. You know, it's like, you know, sometime people are the last ones. Some of you still remember being the last one chosen for whatever sport, for basketball, football, cricket, whatever you play. Okay, it's not a nice feeling. But hey, it's such a beautiful feeling. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I love this. Dearly loved. You know, we have value. We have a worth that is amazing. You know, all the girls that we work with, all the girls and moms that we help, they have a worth, even though life has chewed them and treated them in undignifying ways. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Already overwhelmed. Especially with A-type people like me, cholerics, like kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone. Man, and don't we have grievances? Reasons to be upset. Reason to be disappointed. Reasons to be sad. Do you have such grievances? Man, I lost you. Or you're not. We all have such grievances. Some days we may feel okay, but periodically we have such grievances with our husband, spouse, friends, family, parents, kids, you know, church members, small group members, right? We have grievances. And the Bible tells us what to do. Bear with each other, which is basically stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. Okay? I remember a friend of mine one time told me, Christian, I'm a blessed man because my wife rather believes in killing than in divorce. Because unfortunately he gave her reasons to divorce him, but she didn't. She buries him through thick and thin and love and restoration. And now they are doing very well together. Okay? Bear with each other. Forgive one another. And then it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because God knows, as human beings, we have many kinds of forgiveness. I forgive you, but I do not forget you. I forgive you, datem pus la index. I forgive you, but one more time, you know, like Peter said, Jesus, wait a second. Is seven times okay? If I forgive this moron, this knucklehead seven times, is that enough? He thought he's going to get a prize from Jesus. Oh, Peter, seven times. Wow, you're amazing. I wish he said seven times because I could maybe, you know, push myself and forgive somebody seven times. But his answer was like, no, whatever it takes, even 70 times seven. I told you it's going to be overwhelming. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So you see why I'm talking about community in Christ, communion. What binds it all together in perfect union is the bond of peace. It's the bond of love, the God's love. The love, capital L, that comes from the cross of Jesus. The love that gave us the cross, that gave us restoration. When we hold on to the elements in a few minutes, we are holding on to love. And love is holding on to us because God is love. So if you feel unloved, if you feel, you know, that you've been mistreated or unconditional love, today when you see those elements, you are being embraced by the almighty loving arms of God. And that gives us strength. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. You are called to one body. You know, the living stones together. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. By the way, this is here a beautiful example of what a small group would be like, what a house church it is. You know, it's not about a format, but when we come together, this is what we do. We let the message of Christ, that's why we read the Bible, we look again and again at the stories of the Bible, at the gospel, and let it dwell richly among you as you teach and admonish. We remind each other, we teach each other, we even correct each other in love. It's part of the Christian experience, not to put each other down or compete with each other, but to look together at Christ. And then we do it through all the wisdom, through psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in hearts. This is what the first believers did in Acts. They said they would partake of every day. They would meet in their houses and have food together with grateful hearts. And this is what we have to do. It doesn't say that circumstances have to be perfect in order for us to be grateful. You can be grateful in the midst of the most difficult moments. In fact, that's one of the paradoxes of life. When things can be bad, and when you mess up, and you other people mess up with you, and things are bad, the news are bad, God is still good. And that's why it says, you know, the in our weaknesses, His grace is made perfect. If we look for it, if we reach to it, if we humble ourselves. So that's why I said it's beautiful, but it's overwhelming. Because this is about community. This is how we, this is the kind of love, this is the kind of conduct and behavior we need to have towards one another in order to fulfill this commandment of love one another. Again, let me read it briefly. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another if you have grievances. Forgive as Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, as you are members of one body. But we can only do this if we are in communion with Christ, identifying. If our identity is derived, is drawn from Him, as Rochelle reminded us last Sunday. If our identity is not derived from Him, is not drawn from Him, we're going to mess up. We're going to be confused. If our identity is drawn from what others think about us, if our identity is based on our accomplishments, then we will be like up and down and up and down, depending how our week was, depending how other people treat us. But when we draw our identity in Him, I'm God's beloved. Whew. Yeah, but some bad news from the doctor. Yeah, but I'm God's beloved. Whether I live or die, I'm in Christ. I'm God's beloved. I'm God's beloved. Yeah, but you're still single and your hair is getting thinner and whiter. Yeah, but I'm God's beloved. I'm going to be okay. I may never be married, but God loves me. I'm not trying to sell you like cheap pop psychology. But when we think of this, when we get a grab of His love for us, when we understand that we are not just holding on to bread and wine, we are holding on to the love of God, the whole perspective is different. And then we'll have the compassion to reach out to others even when our own needs are not fully taken care of. Oh, come on, you have time to help other people? Look at your own house. Come on, your kids need another bedroom. Oh, you need to do this. Look at your car. Your car is old. You know, before you give to the M family, you better, you know. Oh, yeah, you want to do this. But hey, remember, you have to pay the loan to the bank. Yes, we need to be good stewards. We need to pay the loan. We need to pay the bills. We need to be proactive with our finances and make good plans. But we are God's beloved. And only when we have such connection through communion with Christ, then we will have the courage, the craziness, as the world would see it, to really make a priority out of reaching to others. Then we'll be the kind of church, you know, that Tim Keller talks about, when we can really be a counter-culture example to the community. That people look at them and say, what's wrong with them? What are they smoking? I want to have some of that. Sorry, teenagers. It's figuratively speaking. You know, I want to have access to something that makes me so happy even when things are so terribly wrong. Why are these people so selfish? What is their agenda? Let them ask that. Let even blame us of all sorts of things as long as they are not true. But through Christ, we can do that. Through Christ, communion. So, as feeble and weak as I feel as a pastor, I urge all of you, I passionately urge you, looking into your eyes, looking into my heart, looking towards you, saying, let's follow this example. Let's allow Christ to reshape us, to rebuild us, to fill us with His presence as we seek to abide in Him. And as we are reminded, this is not just a bunch of people from different countries, you know, British, which we still love regardless of whatever things happen, is not based on that. Because what brings us together is not European Union. look, we have people that will never become part of the European Union, but they're still part of the kingdom, which is a better union than the European Union. It's even better than the United States Union, even though they come together to make a more perfect union, regardless of who's going to be president in a few months. Can I get an amen? That's how powerful the kingdom, the communion with Christ is. So I urge you, I invite you, let's do it. Let's help each other. Let's teach each other. Let's remind each other. Let's even admonish each other, but let's do it in love. Let's do it as we all together look to Christ. Yes, I'm not saying, by the way, give up on your earthly dreams. Pray, plant dreams, intercede for your dreams. Water your dreams, prepare for your dreams, pray for the children that you expect, for the husband, for the wife, for the things, for the houses, for the influence that God is calling you to. But do not make those things as the pillars of your identity or happiness. You know, but Christ, in his simplicity and power, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. That's what he did that night, and that's what he's doing through the words of Jesus, through the words that we read, and through the elements of communion that we're going to have in a minute. I encourage you to close your eyes if you want to, and just think about these words and let the Spirit speak to you. You know, maybe my words are not the best one for you. Maybe you heard them and you maybe say, yeah, I hope I could really believe them, but something doesn't click. Let the Spirit speak to you. Let the Spirit make them more real to you, okay? I'm going to wash my hands and fetch the elements. By the way, be assured that we did super carefully. Kami, who helped us disinfect your hands repeatedly, and all the cups and everything, so you can be confident. It's in sanitary condition. But most importantly, be confident that the Lord is the one watching. And we bless the people who are watching us online. And even though you cannot partake physically with us in communion, you are with us in Christ's communion. So stay connected. Plan to meet with other people next Sunday and the following Sundays. But in all of this, we remember that he is our rock and he is our strength. Hallelujah. So please pray wherever you are and let the Spirit fill you with God's love and remind you of his plans, his perfect plan for you and for us.